There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Happy Valentine's Day weekend, the weekend of love. Forced love, because there's just cards and red and pink and all that everywhere. Although I thought it was cute today when I was in the market. There was a little girl, she was probably 7, and she was all excited. She was with her mother, and she had a whole bunch of boxes of Valentine's cards, and she told me that she was taking them to school and couldn't wait to give everybody in the class a Valentine because they were all her Valentines. And I thought, what a nice sentiment. So young, impressionable, and naive. I loved it. So here at the get-go for this hour of America tonight, a couple of things. A sad note, New York Times media columnist Dave Carr, dead at the age of 58. He actually died in his office, his Manhattan office in the New York Times. This was a guy who had a rough life in his addiction with heroin, but he fought that demon and won, and he just was such a clever writer. He just had a lot of humor in his writing, had a way with words. There's no question about it. His memoir, The Night of the Gun, was excellent. It's about addiction and recovering from addiction, and he wrote the media equation column for the Times, and he wrote some, I think, incredibly thoughtful pieces there. And he was nobody's fool. He was definitely a true journalist. He did what he thought he had to do, and he didn't pay attention to whatever the corporate mantra was. That wasn't how he was, and he was in a great documentary, too, that I saw called Page One, and it was a really, there was a big chunk of David Carr in this, and I thought it was very, very revealing. Anyway, what a strange week. Bob Simon from 60 Minutes dies in a horrific car accident. He was in a car service. He was a passenger, and he was killed in Manhattan. 60 Minutes correspondent, who was also wonderful in what he did. And it's the same week that, of course, NBC suspended Brian Williams. Very, very strange. It's also the week that President Obama turned up the heat in a way and confused a few people on the Hill, including Democrats. The War Powers effort and what it is exactly that Congress will do with this, we'll find out in a week when they start looking at it, debating it, because it's an off week for the people on the Hill, Friday through next week. So there was a War Powers request to Congress that, you know, the other day the president stood before microphones with kind of his war team around him and requested authorization for use of military force against the Islamic State. But there were some vague areas in it. The one thing that it definitely prevents is enduring offensive combat operations, which is a ban on any kind of large-scale army occupation for any extended period of time, thinking of Iraq and Afghanistan. But special forces, they could be exempt from that provision. There would be certainly a way around that in the language. It's all about the way that it's written, and it's vague enough to keep open the possibility of committing combat troops on the ground. You know, that whole no boots on the ground, no boots on the ground, no boots on the ground. But wait a second, if we read the language in this, boots on the ground, and that's the thing. So the Democrats don't want to open the door for a large-scale military op. The Republicans, some of the Republicans feel the opposite way, but both agree that it has to be debated and that it's vague in some of its language and doesn't work. The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, said it would give our military commanders the it wouldn't give our military commanders the flexibility and authorities they need to succeed and protect our people. John McCain said that the president had admitted air support for the U.S. trained rebels battling the Syrian president, Bashar Assad, saying that that was, you know, immoral. How could they ultimately do that? And some Democrats, too, were really careful about what they said, but were not uber supportive. Even House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi put out a statement that didn't really endorse the request, just saying that Congress should act judiciously and promptly to pass legislation narrowly tailored to fight against Islamic State fighters. And before that, she opposed deploying boots on the ground. So I think this is going to be one that definitely gets torn apart in a couple of different directions. It's language. What is permissible and what is so open-ended, and what will the next president inherit? Because that's what will happen. This will be passed on to who's ever next. Even Orrin Hatch said Obama's limited ISIS war plan is utterly stupid, is what he called it. And Congressman McCall said the FBI is right on the faulty tracking of ISIS supporters, because this is another part of the tentacles of this whole thing of how do we get rid of ISIS. McCall says that Americans who have had contact with the Islamic State is far from under control, because it was the FBI Assistant Director for Counterterrorism, Michael Steinbach, who told the House Homeland Security Committee on Wednesday that the intelligence community, and we talked about this, is not keeping track. They don't know. Who are the people traveling to fight ISIS? When are they returning home? What flights? Where are they? Can we pick them up? And the answer is, we don't know. I'm very glad that he was honest about that, because that needs to be known, that there's these people that have Western passports who are going over there, then they come back, and if something happens, that will be the first breadcrumb, and everybody will be looking at that and saying, how come we didn't know this? How come we couldn't figure that out? Is it impossible to know who all these people are? Isn't there a way to stop this kind of terrorists? This is just completely opening the door for what could be the disaster that too many people were holding their breath for happening since 9/11. I mean, U.S. cells in the U.S. is the scariest of all thoughts. And there's no doubt that there's been a lot of conversations about probable ISIS terrorist cells. Stay with us. Much more coming your way next on The Flip Side here on America Tonight.
So beautiful, to me, you are so beautiful, to me, can't you see?
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Our next guest here on America Tonight. His name is Josh Sundquist, and he's a ski racer, cancer survivor, video blogger. I mean, if I listed everything this guy's done, it just would blow your mind at a very young age. Motivational speaker, and he says he's a mediocre rapper. I like rap music, so we might have to hear some of that rap. Anyway, he's written a great book called We Should Hang Out Sometime, Embarrassingly a True Story. I love the title. And as I said, he was a ski racer, a Paralympic ski racer. So, Josh, thanks so much for popping on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about your story, and you just talk about things that happen in life and relationships and funny things that have happened to you. But let's go through the, you know, ski racing, how that came about. And I guess before that, tell us about surviving cancer. What happened there?
Yeah, so I had two legs, and I was real into playing soccer, and then, as you said, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I was given a 50% chance to live. Mm. I ended up losing my leg, but I survived the cancer, and I started skiing soon after because, like, that was something I could do, you know, with one leg, and then I started getting into competitive skiing and started training and racing at the national and international level, and I went to the Paralympics in 2006.
Yeah, what was that like to go to the Paralympics? It had to be mind-blowing in a sense, huh?
Yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, especially in some ways, because I wasn't like, yeah, obviously I was good enough to make the team, but I was never like a medal contender, you know, so it was never even really clear to me if I was going to make the team. So, you know, for me, it wasn't really about like how I did in the races. It was just about the fact that I was there, and that was like really amazing. So yeah, it was really special.
And I should tell people, I mean, I guarantee there are many that are listening to us that get this. You are like a YouTube star. I mean, every time you release anything, people run to it. I mean, you've got, you know, every Tuesday you do a new video and you get at least 200,000 viewers on your YouTube channel. That has to feel really, really good. Is it because you just tell authentic stories? What do you attribute to that success?
I don't know. I've been really lucky to develop an audience on YouTube, and it's just it's a really fun way of communicating stories. Like, I mean, I feel like this book, We Should Hang Out Sometime, is really an extension of my YouTube channel, because early on YouTube, before I had any viewers, I just went on YouTube just to rant about like how I couldn't find a girlfriend and like complain about like bad dates I'd have or whatever. So like early on, that was like, that's what all my videos were about. So I feel like having We Should Hang Out Sometime now in print form is like, it's like my YouTube channel sort of distilled into a book.
Yeah, and let's pick that up. You know, you realized at 23 that you only had one girlfriend, and you started to question why you were still single. In a very funny way, you take us through the girls that you tried to date since middle school, and then you tell us what went wrong. Was it fun to go back in that journey, and how do those girls feel about that?
I don't know if fun would be the word. I would say like, it was interesting, for sure, and enlightening, at times very awkward and frightening. I think people reacted really well, because, you know, I wasn't going to, you know, girls and being like, I demand answers about what happened 10 years ago, or, you know, anything like that, which presumably people would not respond to well. So, you know, it was more like, you know, having coffee with someone or whatever and saying like, look, what happened between us 10 years ago or whatever, it's not like an emotionally big deal to me anymore. Like, but I'm just kind of trying to learn about myself and if you would be willing to like share some insights, like that would be really helpful. But if that's weird or you don't feel like talking about it, totally cool as well. And so I think from approaching it from that standpoint, you know, girls reacted really positively and I learned so much about myself and my life, and filled in sort of a lot of gaps and questions that I had always had about the way dates had occurred or the way, you know, conversations we'd had or whatever.
What was the most disastrous date? I know this is a tough question, but what's the most disastrous date you think you ever had?
Well, yeah, there are. It's a tough question in a sense that there are so many to choose from. I would have to say probably the first date with the girl in the book I call Francesca. I took her to play golf on this like par 3 golf course near where I grew up in Virginia, and I hit a shot off the tee, and it was like a really perfect shot, like stopped right beside the hole. So I was all excited because I was like, the shot's so good. She's going to be really impressed. She's probably going to want to make out with me immediately. And then, I always say that like artificial legs, I was wearing my prosthetic leg at the time. Artificial legs are like pre-programmed to malfunction at the worst possible moments in your life. And so like right then my leg just like collapsed, and then I stood up and the foot on my artificial leg was turned around backwards, like facing completely the wrong way, which was like kind of weird for her, but at least she knew, you know, that I had a fake leg. But like, imagine how much weirder it was for the other people on the golf course who did not know I had a prosthesis, who were just seeing like a guy with his foot turned backwards. And that was our first date. So yeah, stuff like that happened.
Wow. And we should say now that you are engaged. How did, tell us about your fiance and how you met her.
Yeah, so that's actually happily the end of the book. It was kind of I had the idea to kind of write this book for a long time. But my literary agent had always been like, well, but I mean, you still have never dated anyone. Like, you have some funny stories, but it's a pretty depressing ending if you still are single. And so, so after I'd been in a relationship for a while, then it was like, okay, now maybe it's the time to write this book. But yeah, so she's sort of the ending of the book. Ashley is her name, was meeting her. And, I met her, I was out, dancing with my friends in DC, and she, I guess, was impressed with my dancing abilities on crutches, and came up and was just like, hey, you're awesome. And I was like, this is amazing. An attractive girl just came up and started talking to me. So we started dating and got engaged a couple months ago, and we're getting married in September.
Wow, congratulations. I love that story. And you know, you have a lot of exciting things happening in your life, obviously. And one of the things I found out is that you're training with the U.S. National Amputee Soccer Team for the World Cup Games in December. That's pretty cool. What's that been like? Because you mentioned that you were passionate about soccer as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's what makes it so cool and so meaningful is that a big reason I started skiing was I couldn't play soccer anymore. I didn't really imagine I'd have that opportunity. So the fact that there's this sport, amputee soccer, where, you know, people with one leg play soccer on crutches, and I get to participate with them and do it on an international level is really something I never imagined would happen, but is at the same time a dream come true.
Yeah. Hey, last one. I know that, and I mentioned this at the top, I'd be remiss not to ask you, you're a motivational speaker, and that has to get you pumped up when you go out and speak and you talk to folks at Google and all that stuff. What's the coolest place you've been speaking?
I would say my favorite group probably that I've talked to is FFA, Future Farmers of America. They are a really large team leadership group that focuses specifically like on agriculture. And I've been able to speak to their national convention twice, and it's just a huge convention. It's like in an NBA arena with like 15 or 20,000 students. And so it's just incredibly exciting, you know, just to have that many people. And of course they're super high energy, just really, really great students. So that's probably my favorite group to talk to. But it's a great job. I really, really enjoy going out there and sharing my story with people.
Yeah. So you think you give hope to all single guys, no matter what their situation?
I don't know if I would go that far, but I would definitely say that, if there is hope for me, which it turns out there was, somebody who never had a girlfriend for like 27 years, who didn't kiss anyone until he was in his 20s, who had all kinds of disastrous dates. Like, if there was hope for me, it seems like there should be hope for anyone else. And perhaps they can find that from my book. I'm not sure, but hopefully.
I love it. Pick it up, Amazon. Of course, you can go there and get it on Amazon or anywhere else where books are sold. Josh Sundquist, we should hang out sometime. Embarrassingly, a true story. Thanks, Josh. It was a delight. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Kate.
Bye-bye.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. But then again, no, or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you.
Ah, this one's for you. What a beauty by Elton John. No matter what age you are, you have to have heard at least something by Elton John that I think that you can relate to. I remember his first album when I was a really young kid. Or at least I thought it was his first album. It might not have been Yellow Brick Road. Who doesn't have a memory about Yellow Brick Road? I just remember the one song, Brown Dirt Cowboy. I guess what was the name of it. I thought it was the best, and I heard it on the radio just a couple of times because it wasn't a major hit compared to all the others that were on that album. A perfect song for Valentine's Day. Perhaps you're running out at the last second to go and buy candy hearts, chocolate, flowers, cook a good meal, maybe a back massage. I don't know, do some extra chores, walk the dog, vacuum. I think all women, for some reason, doesn't that seem to fall on the specter of the woman's side of the ledger, no matter what the circumstances are? And what woman doesn't want to have a day off from doing whatever the normal tasks are? That, don't count that out. That could be a really good Valentine's Day present. All right, many of you had some thoughts on V-Day, believe it or not, and some other things as well. So let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. This one from Joe, listening to us in Nashua, New Hampshire. Kate, I think I've emailed you already twice now. Really, really like the show. I have to tell you, we are tired of talking about snow. It's just one of the words that you have to eliminate from your vocabulary when you live in Nashua. We are so close to Boston. And just like Boston, we are getting slammed with snow. When they get it, we get it for the most part. And it's just been a shovel kind of winter for us. And, it doesn't matter. You can plow, you can blow the stuff away, but you still have to deal with it. It's great at first when you get the first snowfall, but then you start to really get tired of it after a while. And I think we are certainly at that point, without a doubt. Looking forward to the spring. I want to just kill that little rodent, Punxsutawney Phil, for saying six more weeks of winter. I hope he's wrong. Yeah, I think a lot of people are hoping he's wrong. There's no question about that. I said something earlier about the citations and stuff they get in Boston. You know, it's a big city, and you got to clear your sidewalks. And if you don't, you get fined, and your neighbors might rat you out. It's always a dicey thing as to whether or not you call on your neighbors. You know, what if you have a dog that never stops barking? Never stops barking, never stops barking. Do you call the city and complain? Are you that person? Do you first go over and try to talk to them? You know, neighbors are, it's so important who you live near. Good neighbors, neighbors who are not doing something that you just can't live with, whatever it is. I mean, just something that is intolerable. And they can be all kinds of things. Certainly one of them can be noise, right? Absolutely. One of them can be noise. And I guess the snow removal thing, because of the amount of snow removal and because you have to maneuver around it, depending on how close the houses are and the sidewalks and all that, it could be pretty, risky. It used to be that you would help your neighbor. If you had an older neighbor, you would help dig them out. But I guess when you're getting a ridiculous amount, there's no way you can stay on top of all that. People have heart attacks when they're trying to shovel and they're trying to get rid of the snow because it's tough work, especially if you're doing the shoveling thing, because, you can blow the snow so much, you can work on it a lot of different ways, attack it a lot of different ways. But ultimately, at some point, you probably end up picking up a shovel. All right, quickly, let's go to this one from Ryan, who says, Kate, Valentine's Day. What is your expectation for Valentine's Day? I thought I would hear what you had to say and maybe get some tips on what I could do for my fiancé. Wow. Writing me an open-ended note like that to America tonight, Ryan, thanks. Well, I think you heard what I said. Do the unexpected thing. Do the unexpected thing. It's not about... it's not about money. It's not about that you have to go and spend a gazillion dollars on flowers or get $3,000 worth of chocolates. Of course, I'm exaggerating. But it's about just doing something out of the ordinary or I think a surprise thing. It could be something that where you surprise them. I don't know, making dinner is good. Making a picnic is good. Doing something that the person doesn't want to do, taking some kind of chore that's been just a crutch for them off their hands, do their taxes. Hey, I want to fill out your taxes for you. No. That's what I would say. Go for the surprise. Go for the surprise deal. And if all else fails and you want to do the standby thing and do the flowers and whatever, then, go for it. As long as you recognize it in some way, I think it's probably good. It's a weird deal because it is kind of like a forced thing. I call it, I wrote about it, if you go to americatonight.net, it's one of those forced, what I call, card days. So you could be sending somebody a card, a note, a cool thought, any time of the year, but Valentine's Day is a forced thing. This one from the Iceman, who says, Kate, we are frozen up here, so I think you know where I am. Up in New England, you've been talking about it a bunch. The ski resorts love it, there's no question, because there's no man-made snow. They don't have to worry about it. I mean, it's awesome, and it's awesome skiing. But other than that, dealing with the clearing and digging cars out and maneuvering around the snow is just, you know, lost its joy for all of us. That's absolutely for sure. And I think that at this point we could all use a little spring. So it can't come fast enough for us, if you know what I mean. And my thought is this, and the thought is that you just have to, I think you just have to eliminate it. You know, when I spent a really hot summer in New York, and you'd go to the comedy clubs or you'd be somewhere, and that is the only thing anyone would talk about. So it kept being, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot, isn't it so hot, it's so hot. That it was worse. It was in your brain. Like, okay, now we're working, now we're doing things, now we're in air conditioning, but that would be the common denominator, which I understand is the weather, but it would be the unending conversation. So there was kind of this unwritten rule where I worked, yeah, no more. You can't just spend the entire day lamenting about the heat, especially when we're getting out of the heat and we're in air conditioning. So I'd say the same thing for the snow. At some point, you just got to, you know, you just got to blast past it. You got to just let it go. All right, this one from Rick, who says, Kate, I've emailed you many, many times. I stopped for a while because I changed shifts, but now I'm back on a shift where I can listen to your show. I think the Obama request to Congress was way too vague. I mean, at least he tried to get off the dime and do something. I'm sure the main thing is that Congress will put its own spin on it and come up with something. There is absolutely no question that to allow ISIS to continue to do what they're doing, really, there has to be a way to snipe these guys out. It just can't be allowed. They might be hard because they're like cockroaches and spread out all over the place, but there has to be a way to answer for the deaths of those Americans and get rid of as many as possible, because the recruitment is the scary thing, and who knows how many Americans are actually involved with them. I don't think that's a fear that's spreading. I think it's a legitimate concern. Yeah, you know, I think it's a legitimate concern, sure. If for some reason you have people that fit the description, the young males that want to go and fight, that have the anti-Western attitude, that are pounding their chest and saying they're part of it and they want to retaliate and for whatever crazy reasons. And then the scariest part of the whole thing, if you take anything away from listening to my voice right now and answering what this email is about, is the fact that we have no way to track. So if you have these Americans who are anti-Western, who decide they're going to hook up with ISIS, who go over to Yemen or go over to wherever they're going, and then they get back into the United States, that is the danger. And for the people running ISIS, that is the beauty, because that's exactly what they want. You know, undetected. Hey, you're not stopping them. This is fabulous. This is great for us. And who knows? I mean, how many incidents have we dodged here in the United States? For all the criticism, I think, that we level at intelligence gathering, we got to applaud them, because I truly believe, and I know, and we do know of some things that have been made public, you know, a lot of these would-be horrific incidents have been stopped dead in their tracks. That's a good thing. You can always email me, americatonight.net.
Like a star in the middle, and I'm just
on Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts, explored, shared, and passed down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yeah, looking around the room, I can tell that you are the most beautiful girl in the room, in the whole wide room. And when you're on the street, depending on the street, I bet you are definitely in the top three. Good-looking girls on the street,
depending on the street.
And when I saw you at my maid's place, I thought, what is she doing? At my maid's place.
Oh, you gotta love that. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with you across this great nation. How you doing in those nooks and crannies? Yeah, it's the Valentine's Day weekend, so it's always a lot of fun, right? Well, especially when it falls on a weekend, because it's a Saturday, so hopefully a lot of you have off Saturday, maybe not. So I wrote this Valentine to help Seth Rogen out, and this is Seth Rogen giving it to James Franco. He says, how do I love you? Let me count the ways. Perhaps I was on a pot-laced haze. I consider you a bro like me with a whole lot of dough. Now, remember, these are the two, if you don't know, they're actors, and they always talk about smoking dope. And they did the movie The Interview, which, of course, was massively, not criticized, it was massively hammered because of the fact that it was censored by Sony after the supposed North Korea hack or the disgruntled employees hack, depending on who you believe. But regardless, it made massive, massive news. And then it certainly created a buzz because there was a curiosity factor about seeing this movie, The Interview, where Kim Jong-un is assassinated. Like, that's the whole idea, that he's going to assassinate. James Franco is a crazy television talk show host, and he's trying to get ratings, 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 and wants some credibility, and then they end up on a wild goose chase, and that's what the movie The Interview is about. So, and they're pals and have done some other things together, and there you go. There's my little Valentine for them. A big shocker, we just had the death of Bob Simon in that horrific Manhattan car accident, where who knows the speeds that Lincoln car that he was in, what the speed was that they were traveling in, but he was killed. I mean, pretty much expired on site. And now you have the death of columnist David Carr at the age of 58. He was really a media columnist, and he had such a wild personality, I'll call it, just interesting, very witty. I thought he was a great writer. I really, really did. And with the industry really morphing into all kinds of things, he really had a pulse on what was happening. He wrote the Media Equation column, that's what it was titled, for the Times, and it was published on Mondays. And he had this great writing style that I like because he was, well, authentic, but he was conversational and had a lot of humor in it, and it just was such a cut above, and he was himself. Nobody was pulling the strings with him. Somebody said to me he was a reporter's reporter. So he really practiced it. He wrote in-depth kind of pieces, and he wrote for The Atlantic and New York Magazine and did a whole bunch of things. He started at weeklies. He was an editor at the Twin Cities Reader, and he was also with the Washington City Paper, and he was all about culture and music and TV and film, and he'd kind of go in and out of a couple of different things. In fact, one of the things that people are talking about, because, you know, when you remember someone, what piece do you pull out? It's pretty hard to figure out, well, what is the piece that I want to pull out? But the one that people are talking about is where, in his memoir he published in 2008 called The Night of the Gun, he talks about his addiction and recovery and was really, really honest about it. And he talks about a night that he spent at a North Minneapolis house of his then-girlfriend and dope dealer. And he said he was trapped in a drug-induced paranoia, and he very narrowly escaped arrest when the cops came into the neighborhood. And, you know, then he talks about returning to the house and sitting there in many, many, many years later in a super nice suit with a great job in a city in a different place. And the twins on their way to college. And, they, of course, talking about twin daughters. So pretty interesting. And he won a lot of praise and awards and, you know, everything else. So I think it was a surprise. He passed away after he collapsed at the Times office in Manhattan. And he had they were talking about that earlier in the evening he had moderated a discussion about the film Citizen Four. So it was certainly a shocker to his colleagues, without a doubt. I mean, it's almost poetic in the sense that 58, too young, but the fact that he was at a place that he really loved. He loved what he was doing and the freedom he had to just express and, you know, do what he wanted to do and do it without handcuffs on. Because I think that's some of the complaints people have about media people, and that certainly was not him. Because I guarantee he would have said adios if that was the case, and certainly it wasn't. That's why the Times, you know, actually hired him. I talked about earlier the scary thing about the recruitment with ISIS and not knowing who's coming in and out of, you know, the country when they're coming back in. And I've seen the statistic now a couple of times, but the number of Americans giving up their passports actually hit a record last year. It was up 14% from 2013. How about that? You know, how many gave up their passports, 3,415. And experts say it's not about fleeing the country, saying, I don't want to be an American anymore. It's about the fact that it's coming from expats who don't want to deal with complicated tax paperwork because it's gotten so bad. You know, we are so in need of a tax overhaul. Like, can we have a flat tax, please? Knock, knock. Let's try it. Although the IRS is such a big machine, doubtful in my lifetime or perhaps many of yours that we'll ever see that go away. But unlike a lot of other countries, the U.S. taxes all citizens on income no matter where it is earned or where they live. So the paperwork is complicated. So expats often have to, you know, hire accountants and pay a bunch of money to get them to go through the tax laws and make sure that they've got everything, especially because there's this new law to catch tax cheats. It's called the Foreign Accounting Tax Compliance Act. And it means that if you report, you know, you have to report certain foreign assets, and I get that. I get the reason why they're doing that. And banks have to disclose foreign accounts held by Americans. And here's the rub on this. If Americans don't disclose foreign bank holdings, they have to do it. If it's more than 10,000, if they don't look out, they will be all over you. And guarantee now, if they can, they will find you. So anyway, that's what that has to do with the ditching of the passports, because they don't want to deal with the paying of the taxes. I mean, you know, it could be, you could say that they're just tax cheats fleeing to tax havens if they're the wealthy side. But then there's those middle class people, because it's illegal to renounce your U.S. status to escape paying taxes. Did you know that? Oh, yes. And giving up your citizenship doesn't mean they still can't come for you for back taxes, come after you. So it's pretty interesting. It's wild if you think about it, where you have people who desperately want to become U.S. citizens, desperately. And then you have other people who absolutely want to give up their U.S. citizenship. And it just depends on the whole tax situation, I guess. Oh, Uncle Sam. We don't have to worry about it today, though, do we? We just have to think about love this weekend. Thanks for listening.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.